This is the associate editor of newsbusters.org, contributing writer to theamericanthinker.com, two of my favorite sites. This is Noel Shepard. Noel, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Dennis. Welcome.
Try to trace the tenuous Rube Goldbergian machinations of Gore winning a Peace Prize. The Nobel Prize means nothing to me. They can throw him one of those, but how does it tie into peace, my friend?
Yeah, it's interesting and rather hypocritical, because the reality here is that if Gore's cap-and-trade proposals are actually enacted by governments around the world,
mm-hmm.
it's actually going to end up increasing poverty and probably increasing wars as a result. And the reality is, if we look back over our evolution as a species, one of the salient moments is when we learn to harness fire.
Mm-hmm.
So energy is incredibly important to the advancement of our species.
Yeah,
and
it is.
What Gore, unfortunately, is going to accomplish, and sadly, the sycophants in Hollywood and the sycophants in the media aren't getting this, is we're going to limit the ability of the developing nations and the populations in said countries to acquire energy and literally and figuratively move out of the Stone Age.
I know.
So in reality, giving him a peace prize is about as hypocritical as giving Yasser Arafat a peace prize. Not as hypocritical, but it's very close.
The Arafat thing, you know, listen, it has not mattered to me a twit since then. Even before then, when I found out that Nobel was, quite frankly, put like $400K into an annuity fund, so when he croaked, his last thought wouldn't be, I'm going to hell for inventing dynamite. I always thought it was a bit hypocritical, the Nobel Peace Prize, but the moment the baby killer won it, it's over. I mean, what's it matter? I wouldn't take the award if I was him. I like what they're doing in the UK. Tell me a little bit about, they're running the film Inconvenient Truth in the UK now, though, but I love their civility here. They're demanding what?
Yeah, I mean, basically now what this judge has determined, and of course you have to love the delicious hypocrisy of a British judge on Wednesday declaring this film to have 9 material scientific falsehoods, and 2 days later, the Nobel Committee giving him an award for the film. I mean, you really can't make that up. You couldn't. There isn't a writer in Hollywood that could write a better script.
It is tasty, isn't it?
It's delicious. It's absolutely. I woke up this morning, Dennis, and certainly we expected that he was going to win this. But, you know, part of me, when I went to bed last night, thought, there's got to be some sanity in the world. And I wake up this morning and turn on Fox News, and there it is. And I thought I was still asleep having a nightmare. I mean, this is shockingly silly. But what they're going to be doing now in Great Britain, and it's really quite brilliant when you think about it, is when they show this to students, the teachers are now going to be required to basically offer a disclaimer, much like your stockbroker does when he tries to sell you a mutual fund.
Right.
And part of the disclaimer includes the listing of these 9 material falsehoods. And, you know, my contention here, one of the things that I find remarkable about one of the falsehoods is the connection between Hurricane Katrina and global warming. And it's my belief, and I've been writing articles about this for quite some time, that what really got global warming on the alarmist radar is indeed Hurricane Katrina. And this vision of thousands of New Orleansians, in the water and, at the Superdome and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And along comes Al Gore, and frankly, we have to give him a lot of credit. I think what he did was brilliant. He recognized the way the media reported Hurricane Katrina back in September and October of 2005. He recognized that the media had effectively blamed the whole natural disaster on a sitting president and his administration, which is extraordinary.
Right.
And he realized, I can take this hysteria, turn this into a movie, and make millions of dollars. And now, $100 million later, he's right.
Now, to be fair to him, I do believe that he had cobbled together a little, like, Stone Age equivalent of this slideshow, as he called it before then.
Yeah, but he's been doing this slide presentation for about 20 years, and, of course, nobody discussed the fact that for about 20 years he's been saying that we've got about 10 years to solve the problem.
But he was at least smart enough to realize there was a tsunami coming, and he did catch the wave and figured it out.
And, Dennis, we both have to, I mean, as capitalists, we have to admire
that is
him
an admirable
for what he's
thing.
Done here.
I thought the silliest of the nine was number seven, where he says that seawater is Satan's tears. That seemed a little silly. A little simplistic, possibly.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what, I mean, we are, as a species, what, 90% of our bodies are water, so we really ought to be worried about it. And the other canard about all of this, we also are carbon entities. And he's gotten people to believe that carbon is bad. Well, guess what? If we get rid of carbon, we got to get rid of all species.
Well, listen, there's a lot of flaws in it, but, you know, like, I almost think the delineation of the flaws eats into the efficacy of the anti-global warming argument. Now, I happen to believe there is something happening. I just don't believe that we vaguely impinge on it. I mean, it really, I don't. I mean, that's my big thing. It does seem to be getting a little hotter to me. So when people start ticking off all the flaws in that, I almost think it does Gore a thing because it does Gore a service because they begin to look a little hysterical, just like him. Hey, I want to flip it over here in the last minute. I have to talk to you about it. One of these two reporters that are on the Howard Kurtz Reliable Sources show.
Isn't this delicious?
They somehow say that they would prefer if the media did not report September sharp decline in casualties in Iraq. What is that about?
Yeah,
I've got around a minute.
Really delicious. I wake up Sunday morning. I always watch Howard's show because I think he does a fairly good job.
Yes, he does.
And he's got on Robin Wright and Barbara Starr. Robin Wright is Washington Post, formerly Los Angeles Times, and Barbara Starr is CNN. And he begins by talking about how there was good news in Iraq this you know, last month that was just reported, decrease in casualties. This is good.
Listen, no, can I jump in here and ask you to hold for a couple minutes and finish this on the other side of the break, or do
yes,
you got a blow? I'm sorry, I set you up badly. Bad host formatics there, but I'm running out of time. Hard break. We'll be right back. Noel, finish the story. Dennis Miller.
This is the Dennis Miller Show.
1280.
15 seconds. Guidance internal. 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8. Ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All engines running. Launch test. Liftoff. We have liftoff at 9:34.
The Dennis Miller Show. 866-509-7268.
Hey, folks, welcome back. Sal, this is getting absolutely silly. Gore just won the Powerball lottery. And Tipper has conceded that she's allowing him now to have a menage a trois with her and Alessandra Ambrosia from the Victoria's Secret.
Yowza!
Al Gore, when you go to Google today, skip right over Google search and hit the I'm feeling lucky square. All right, we're back with our guest, Noel Shepard. We were talking about a reliable sources story this week. We have Robin Wright of the Washington Post, Barbara Starr of CNN, both on with Howard Kurtz. And you take it from there, my friend Noel.
Well, Dennis, since you brought up Al Gore again, do you mind if I make one more point that's rather interesting about this whole situation?
No, Noel, please, put a ribbon on it.
Are you familiar with a Disney film called White Wilderness?
Was that the George Lincoln Rockwell autobio or
animated?
This is a documentary done in 1958 about lemmings. And what's interesting is where they filmed this in Canada, lemmings were not an indigenous species. So they actually shipped the lemmings in to do the filming.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the whole premise of the film at the end, the lemmings are all jumping into the sea, supposedly committing suicide. And they, you know, they were actually encouraging the lemmings to jump in and blah, blah, blah. And it turns out, I mean, lemmings don't commit suicide. It's a myth, and it's been a myth for a long time. But this film ends up winning the Academy Award for, guess what, Best Documentary.
Right.
And years later, it's been tremendously discredited for the images that were basically manufactured by the producers and the directors of this film. Now, isn't it interesting that here we are almost 50 years later, and Al Gore is trying to treat us all like lemmings, and there are people that are actually jumping into his sea believing this nonsense.
His superheated sea. And by the way, I just have to say that I did know a lemming once who killed himself when Ava Gardner left him for a bullfighter. But anyway, back to this Howard Kurtz
like
story.
Okay, so you have Robin Wright, and you've got Barbara Starr of CNN, and Howard Kurtz of the Washington Post, and also CNN says, you know, there was really good news last week. There were, you know, the casualties are down in Iraq in the month of September.
The best possible news.
I mean, one would think, and, you know, I'm not a scholar and I'm not a Nobel laureate, but one would think that declining deaths is always good news.
Yes.
But yet, so he says to Robin Wright, shouldn't this have been more widely reported? And she says, no, not necessarily. And her vision here was, you know, it's really not much of a trend yet. I mean, it's only 1 month. So we need to see more of a trend here before we, you know, go out there and report this to people. It's extraordinary. Now, he then asks Barbara Starr, well, but if the numbers were mysteriously worse, you folks would be all over that like white rice. And I'm paraphrasing. He did not say that.
Right.
And she says, oh, yeah, because that would be newsworthy.
If it bleeds, it leads, I believe is the old aphorism.
It leads. So, I mean, it's extraordinary. Well, the other thing that was fascinating is Howard was on Good Morning America on Tuesday with Chris Cuomo, and he claimed that they were talking about what's happening to network news, you know, the evening news programs. And Howard said that their reporting of the Iraq War in 2005 and 2006 is what turned America anti-war.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to agree with them.
it's just that I can't go with them on the I'm proud of this fact. That seems to be where we differ.
Strange idea.
Yeah, I look at it and shake my head, yeah, like I can't believe you did that. He looks at it and shakes his head, yeah, like I'm so proud of that. Oh, what a little good boy am I. Well, I'll tell you what, if the unemployment rate went up over 1 month, there would be a clarion call, okay? They'd be flying Fokkers over South Beach, trailing signs behind them saying the unemployment rate had gone up. So if the death rate in Iraq goes down for a month, it's certainly, at the times we live, the most newsworthy of all events, and I agree with you. It's unbelievable that these women are trying to rationalize their way out of reporting it. All right, Noel, it's good to talk to you, buddy, and thanks for sticking around on the break there. We will talk at you down the road. Pardon my bad hosting etiquette, but sometimes I misread my time constraints. This is Noel Shepard, associate editor of newsbusters.org. And a contributing writer to Mr. Lifson's great site over there, AmericanThinker.com.